today I welcome J Steps, a new band initiative designed to nurture the talent of musicians who identify as female or non-binary, with its main aim being to balance the historic lack of representation of women in jazz. I'm really excited to have them on the In Conversation With podcast ahead of their gig in association with us, actually, on the 6th of October, where they'll be celebrating the jazz giant Dexter Gordon alongside Lily Dior, the singer, and my quartet. The group are based at Saffron Centre for Young Musicians, and they have performed at the EFG London Jazz Festival, Jazz Cafe Posk, and Saffron Hall Foyer, soon to add to their list the Swinging Cats. Hello, J Steps.
Hi.
Yay. So J Steps is more than five members, but these five have very, very kindly volunteered their time to come on and chat to me. I'm very excited because I don't usually get to chat with them. I usually just get to be the person at the front directing them, and we don't get to chat too much. So I have with me Katie, Annie, Tabby, Sunny, and Megan. And I thought it'd be nice for them to just introduce themselves and say a little about who they are. So Katie, you're up first. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm Katie. I'm a pianist. I've not played much jazz before, but J Steps is like a chance to like sort of get into that, having not done much of it before. And it's been like a really fun experience so far.
Great. Annie?
Hello, I'm Annie. I'm 18 and I'm one of the alto saxophonists for J Steps. I also play the piano, but I'm more classically trained on the piano. And yeah, J Steps has been so much fun. I do play for a jazz group at SCYM with Megan, but that one is more predominantly male. So it's been really nice to engage with a group that's all about inspiring women. And yeah, it's been really interesting viewing jazz as a genre from both perspectives.
Great. Tabby?
Hi, I'm Tabby. I play the electric bass guitar. So I play jazz a lot of my life. I started when I was about 7 or 8, but I've gone through so many instruments in that time. I started on the violin, and then I went to the piano, which I still play, and the cello, which I still play. But then I landed on bass instruments as my thing, and I really enjoy being the bass line.
And you play electric bass, don't you, for us?
Yeah, so I play electric bass for J Steps. Yeah, I landed on that eventually.
I did not know about the cello, Tabby.
Yeah, I still play that. Yeah, I played that at the school orchestra. I dropped violin to play cello because I used to play jazz violin. But yeah, I like playing so many instruments. It's really fun.
Katie, you play the cello, don't you, as well?
I do, yeah.
Because you often leave it behind and have to come back for it after the rehearsal, don't you?
Often. It's like twice.
Sunny, your turn.
Hi, I'm Sunny. I play clarinet, and I'm like relatively new to J Steps, and like kind of relatively new to jazz as well. And like the first thing I've done where like it's all girls, I think like a lot of the groups that I played in before, it's like the majority of them are boys. And so yeah, it's really nice to be part of J Steps. It's really fun. I've learned actually a lot about jazz and kind of improvisation. Like it's nice just it being girls and like having that like shared experience. Like I think without really saying anything, like we all kind of get a part of each other because we're all girls.
Love that. Megan?
Hi, I'm Megan. I play the drums in J Steps, but I also play piano. But similar to Annie, I'm also more classically trained on piano. So J Steps has given me kind of like an opportunity to explore jazz more. And I'm relatively new to the drums as well, so playing in J Steps has given me my first opportunities to play in front of people on a kit, which has been really great for me. And yeah, most of my jazz groups that I've been in have been all males. So as Sunny said, being a part of a group with all girls has been a great opportunity to be able to connect with new people. And it feels like a different environment. It's a more relaxed environment, and it's a lot more open to kind of no judgment, and it's much easier to play.
That's a really positive thing, because actually quite often we are quite a stress, but we're in a stressful kind of, we have a gig in like two rehearsals time and we have to get it done. But it's good that you guys don't feel that. You just feel it's like, oh, I never really worry about you guys not getting a gig together, because I know that you will, because you're all kind of, you know, you all just kind of mold together and just do it. There's never any, if anybody finds anything a bit worrying, you never know, you all just muddle in together. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
I find that really inspiring about you lot, that I can say, right, try this, and you all go for it, and there isn't ever silence. which is really, really, really good. Really good. I'm interested about the other instruments. So I know Annie plays the piano, because you sometimes put up some little clips of you playing on Instagram, don't you?
Yeah. At SUIM, I've had lots of opportunities to play in some amazing venues, as well as J-Steps. So it's been really fun to, again, because obviously with any source of musical opportunity, it comes like an experience, and comparing the different lifestyles has been really interesting, because I would actually say that the actual music probably comes secondary to the J-Steps experience. I'd say at the fore is being able to travel together to London, be able to meet new people from different backgrounds. That I would say is like principally what's most fun about it. So yeah, it's been really fun.
Yeah. Sunny, do you play piano?
Not very well. I did it when I was younger, but like it takes me like a while to like play something on piano.
Yeah.
So like not really. Clarinet is like my main thing. And then I play a bit of saxophone, but I'm not too good at saxophone yet. I need more practice.
Yeah. So J-Steps is a mixture of ages, isn't it? And actually we have Tabby as our oldest member at the moment, because Tabby was just, before we went on the call, was just saying she's got a job.
Yeah, I have.
So you've just finished your A-levels, have you, Tabby?
Yeah, I've just finished it. I'm taking a gap year now, so because I found while I was doing exams, I fell behind in stuff I loved, like music lessons and dance and theatre. So I'm getting back up to that. I'm currently in the process of finding times to meet all my music teachers. So yeah, and I'm looking forward to it because the university I want to go, well, I am going to next year, has an orchestra. So I'm really excited to join that again.
Where are you going?
Kent.
And what are you going to study?
Classical studies.
Very good.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it, and I've kept in touch with the orchestra so that they can let me know of the opportunities I'll have musically when I go there, and I am looking forward to that because I like music, like, casually. I really love it as a hobby, and I love the like community of being able just to play it with people who enjoy it for the sake of playing music.
That's great. Do any of you want to do music further on?
Yeah, I've been in the situation of having to decide between conservatoire and studying an academic course, and as much as I love playing, I have actually decided to go down the more academic route, but that's just because I feel like doing the academic route will in some ways actually strengthen my playing, and as much as I love performing, I think that having that sort of background knowledge about where, you know, like more historical knowledge and the context actually helps me with my playing. So I'm really excited to study music.
So Katie, what has J-Steps done for you then?
Well, I mean, I wasn't really confident in playing in front of other people before, and I wasn't really confident in jazz either. I wouldn't say I'm confident yet, but I certainly know like a lot more than I did starting. And it's helped improve my playing in front of other people, because before J-Steps, I was so like scared to play anything in front of anyone. And now I feel like I've got like a supportive like group of people I can make mistakes in front of and like not have to worry too much about anyone making fun of me or anything. So that's been really nice.
And have you found in other groups that you felt as though people have made fun of you?
Not made fun of me. It's just, I feel like it can be a little bit judgy. I don't know.
And how about you, Megan? How have you found J-Steps?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite groups that I do because, yeah, as I said, like there's no judgment at all, and all of the groups that I do are mainly guys, and I don't know why, but just for some reason they're definitely way more dodgy. They've got more confidence and they're more cocky, so they'll make comments, and it makes you feel really uncomfortable. So being in a group with just girls is really refreshing.
I used to, obviously, it was always guys within the groups I did growing up, and I think they can't help but make a comment, and on the wrong day that comment hits you hard.
Mm-hmm.
And on another day you could probably just like think whatever, but you know, they always say on the day where everything goes to your heart and you're like, oh, just feels a bit rubbish. So yeah, Tabby, how about you?
I mean, yeah, so obviously, like I said, I started playing jazz quite young, and but yeah, I was usually either one or two girls in a group, and they were usually much older than me, so I'm not used to having people the same age as me. So I really, so the people who, I used to go to Essex Junior Jazz.
Mm.
So who was it? Martin Hathaway. He was my first teacher. I loved him. He was brilliant. And he really started my passion for jazz. And he really convinced me on my violin. I definitely had far too much confidence and skill back then. I used to stand up and do solos where I should not have done solos. But yeah, and then it got taken over, or my section got taken over by Paul Moylan. And I really, that's when I started discovering the different instruments. And I was then in, I finally found I wasn't the only girl through his daughter. We became really good friends. And then when I left junior jazz and joined J Steps, I was like, oh, I'm not the only girl in the world who likes playing jazz. It was really refreshing to see, and also not be the youngest by about 20 years. That's always nice.
We have Miriam, who was, she was 8 or 9, wasn't she, when we started, I think. So she was our youngest member. Do you know Martin Hathaway used to teach me?
Oh, really?
Yeah, at Junior Guildhall. And he used to teach me MA, musical awareness, and he used to play tricks on us. So he used to come in and there'd be a whiteboard, you know, like a flippy whiteboard, and he would draw black lines on it with the marker, and he'd drawn 6 lines. Then he'd draw a treble clef, and then he'd draw a note and say, what note is this? And we'd all be like fighting over what note it was. He went, well, 6 lines, you can't tell.
Yeah, no, that does sound like him, yeah.
Yeah. And Sunny, so you're quite new to J-Steps, but what does it mean to you?
Well, I joined J-Steps because I'm taught by you, Hannah. And like, obviously my teacher, you, like, plays jazz a lot. And like, I'd never really got myself involved in it too much. But like, my confidence started kind of growing more at you. We're like, oh, why don't you join J-Steps? And like, for me, like, even when, like, on my first time, like on my first J-Steps, it was just like really lovely to like watch like all the girls like revolve around me, because it's not something that like I'd seen often. It feels like I'm learning a lot.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. So it's interesting for me to hear this as your director. It feels very official, doesn't it? Because when you're all playing, I cannot tell that it means so much to you. So actually, it's really nice to hear this. I've seen some of you grow in confidence, obviously, since we started. We were just out of lockdown, and we had to be socially distanced, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we had to set the chairs up in a huge hall where there were gaps between us all, and that's when it started, and look how much it's developed since then. But I can't always tell that. Well, I didn't know how much it meant to you, so that's really lovely for me to hear that, because that's what I wanted. That's why I wanted to start it, so you all had a space that would be non-judgmental and very, very caring and nurturing. Yay, we did it. This is great. So I was going to say, what does music and playing an instrument mean to you? So we'll go to Katie first.
Well, it gives me something to talk about, because like, if I don't know, like, I can just bring it up in conversation if I'm getting to know someone. And I like having opportunities to show off my playing, because I kind of like being in the center of attention just a little bit sometimes. And it's fun to just be able to play pieces and like be able to play stuff that I hear like in games and shows and stuff, and be able to figure out that and like play that stuff. And it's really fun. It's just enjoyable. I like it.
Yeah, something for you.
Mm.
Mm. How about you, Annie?
I would say, I mean, I just love meeting new people. Again, kind of linking back to the lifestyle thing, I think it's so fun, like, hearing people's personalities through their music and, like, you know, certain colours in their solos reflect certain upbringings, that type of thing. So I'd say it's definitely down to the social aspect as well.
You are a very sociable person, Annie, though.
Thank you.
It's a compliment. I'm not a sociable person. I'm like, oh, if only I could be more like Annie. You're just a great sociable person. Tabby, what's it mean to you?
I mean, playing my different instruments means different things to me. So my piano, I don't perform, I don't do grades. So that's really like, I just play my piano to have a fun time with my teacher. So she'll bring along her duet book or like music that we both like, and we'll just sit down for the half an hour and just play a song that we both really enjoy playing, or have like the sense that we've completed a song together and we couldn't have done that without each other. And then my cello, I play mainly to be part of groups. So like, I played at the school orchestra, and I really like, I don't like performing by myself on my cello. I hate whenever our conductor would tell me she could hear me. It's like, stop listening to me. Because I like being part of a group. I don't like standing out on my cello, because I think it just sounds wonderful when you've got so many people surrounded by you. My bass, I play to show off. That's my show-off instrument. I think it's because I've always performed on my bass. I love showing it to people, and I love being in a group where I can like stand out. And I kind of figured that bass instruments are kind of lacking in a lot of groups that I've like seen at school. A lot of them are like, oh yeah, we just don't have bass players. And I'm like, well, pick me. I can do that. I'll play it on my guitar, and you won't be able to not hear me then.
Yeah. See, this is, I'm finding out so much today. It's Sunny.
Yeah, it's like such a great way to meet people. But also, like, I think, like, I kind of said it in my last answer, but like, just hearing people and hearing what they play and like learning from them. When I hear people play, like, I'll often like think like, oh, like, and it will inspire me to play that. And like, I also think like a huge part of why I like playing music is like, difference in like who you're going to get taught by or who you're going to play with, and like what challenges they'll give you and how they'll teach you. I think that's really interesting, kind of what motivates you play.
And Megan, how about you?
Well, for me, music literally accompanies every single thing that I do every day. I'm always listening to music on the bus on the way to school, or when I get home, if I've had a stressful day, I'll normally just sit and play, because it really helps me de-stress. And I find music's one of the things that I can always use to help me relax. And yeah, it's a great way to meet new people. Some of my closest friends I've met through doing music. And I'm really grateful to have like the opportunities to play in front of people, to meet new people. And I love being exposed to new music all the time.
Mm. So how do you all feel about playing in front of others, Katie? You said you quite like it, didn't you?
It depends, right? Like, if I'm playing to a bunch of people, like, it really does depend. Because, like, if I've got to go and do a performance, I hate it. Like, I absolutely hate performing. And it's just, like, really nerve-wracking. But, like, the feeling of relief when it's over is just brilliant. And then, like, with my cello, I haven't really done any performances except like ensemble performances, and I don't really think I'd want to do a solo performance. Like, I just really don't like the idea of doing solo performance on cello. There's too many things that could go wrong. But yeah,
I think there's a lot of things that could go wrong in theory with us, but because there's a magic in J Steps that basically it doesn't often go totally wrong, and we usually can save each other.
Yeah, we trust each other.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a really special thing to have. It is a bit like magic. And ever since we had the first rehearsal, Kate, who is the head of Saffron Centre, has always said, you guys have got your own sound that you developed really early on. And you have, and it's just amazing how it works. But I think that's because you all feel like it's the thing for you.
Yeah.
And because when we started, I couldn't have done it without the Suffren Centre, because I only knew woodwind players really. So we needed, you know, bass and drums and piano. And I wrongly, I think, thought, oh God, you guys have had your arms twisted to come along. But actually, it seems as though you really wanted to come. But so I'm learning lots today. This is great. I feel like, ah. Oh. So we've got Katie for quite a while more. But Megan, what year are you in?
I'm year 12. So I've just started A-levels.
Okay, good. So we've got you for a bit longer. Annie, what are you in?
Year 13, my last year.
Yeah. Oh dear. And we know we're on borrowed time with Tabby.
Yeah.
And Sunny, you've just gone to your A-levels, haven't you? So we've got you for a while. This is good. We don't like it when people leave. It's so sad. And so how has it felt learning to improvise? Because when we started, we just generally used like one scale, didn't we? So that everybody could have a go. I know the rhythm section don't often improvise. But now that we've been going for a while, we look at different chords, we look at different modes. And how does it feel exploring that within the group? Let's go to Annie, because you're one of the ones who have done that.
Yeah, I definitely think that obviously taking the time to analyse the music we've been studying more theoretically has definitely helped us all be more confident when improvising, and like seeing how we all codify our different solos and experiment. Like I'm even starting to sort of put faces to solos now, because I'm starting to like understand how everyone interprets different, you know, theoretical exercises differently. So that's been really interesting.
And Sunny, you're the other one who does like a one-line improvisation instrument. How about you?
I remember being very, very scared to do it, especially when I joined J-Steps, because like I knew it was like full of really good people that can improvise really well. And like, yeah, I was really intimidated. But like for me, just mainly just like hearing everyone else play gave me the confidence to be like, oh, okay, like, I'll give it a go. And like everyone said, like J-Steps doesn't feel judgmental at all. Like it kind of feels like there isn't really like a wrong or a right. And I think like Hannah, you've told me that in improvisation before, like there isn't, like I've said like, oh, I played like a note that didn't sound right, but it's like there is no wrong or right. So yeah, I still like, I've still got a lot to learn. Like I'm not like great, but like I think just listening to everyone really when I first started J-Steps was kind of really inspiring.
And do any of the other three want to add to it? I know you don't improvise. Have you noticed the others developing on their improvisation?
Yeah.
Go on, Tabby, say more about that.
Well, like Annie said, I can definitely put like faces to the way people improvise. Like, because obviously I play rhythm, and I don't improvise that much, because while they're improvising, we're keeping it together with our own section. But sometimes I'll be focusing on the music and I'll look up and I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's who's playing. Yeah, that's right. That's their style. Like they all, even if they don't notice it, they all individually have their style. I think that's really cute. Like, yeah. I think it's really cute when people just subconsciously have their own style of playing music. And I mean, when you're playing in a group, especially that has multiple instruments, it's difficult to stand out, but I think solos really give you the opportunity to showcase like why you're there and how much you love doing it.
Mm. You're right. I think sometimes you could close your eyes if you're not the one soloing, and you could probably guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel that, Megan, from behind the kit?
Yeah, definitely. Like sometimes when you're just like playing the same thing over and over again, you just start listening to what's going on around you instead of focusing on what you're doing. And I can definitely hear different people soloing, and I can tell who it is. And like over time, I've been able to tell like people gaining confidence, like people play louder or they play with, yeah, more style, and that you can hear them experimenting with new things. And that's really interesting to hear over time.
Casey, have you noticed it?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, I don't really have much to add to what the others have said, but yeah, I can definitely like tell to a degree who's playing. It's really cool.
So I'm going to ask you what, obviously, because this podcast is for women in jazz media, and we've touched a little bit already on how you feel playing in other groups, but how has it been being a female musician so far in your lives, Annie?
I mean, for me personally, I haven't actually found it a problem, like being in environments where it is predominantly all men. But I don't think it's necessarily just the imbalance that's the problem, but I think it's more so, it's nice that, you know, groups like us are now creating spaces that show women that it's not just like a momentary hobby. It's more like it can go long term and you can dedicate your whole life to the craft. I think that's what's been really nice. And if I'm speaking really honestly, I think it's really cool when you see women in like all men sort of jazz environments, you know, sort of putting them in their place, because historically they just happen. And I always think it's really cool when you see, you know, a lady get up, and she's often sometimes better than the men in the band, just speaking truthfully. And I think it's really refreshing. So I think that sort of empowering element to it is really quite fun to see.
Tabby?
Well, so I think there's quite a big divide in my life with being a woman who plays music, because I found a lot of the time I've always been taught by men, apart from you. I've always had male teachers, but they've always uplifted me, whereas boys who are at my level or my age have always tried to be like, oh, you wouldn't know about this. Like, one time a boy told me I wouldn't know who the Rolling Stones are because they're so underground, and I was like, sure, okay. Or I have been definitely mansplained how to play my own instrument, and I'm like, I'll remember the F sharps. It's okay. I was playing them the whole time. Don't worry. It feels a lot like that scene. Like, playing music for me in a group of men feels a lot like that scene in the Barbie movie where he says, let me play the guitar at you. I just feel like they play yeah. it at me. They don't show me, they just play it at me, and that's what I want to do. But yeah, that's mainly been like secondary school boys. I've been in a lot of bands with boys my own age, and so when it's teachers, they're fine. They want to uplift you because they love younger people learning music. But when it is people your own age, it's a bit like, sorry for turning up today.
What was that term you just used? Mansplaining.
Yeah. When it's like when a man doesn't believe a woman knows what she's talking about, so he'll explain it in like a really like, I don't know, like infantilizing way. And it's like, I know how to play my instrument. You don't have to tell me my cello's a string instrument. It's fine. I am.
Yeah. And I know how to hold it as well for a bonus. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. I know what an F is. I know what an F sharp is. I know they sound different. Don't worry, I can do it.
I don't know that term, mansplaining, but I'm going to add it to my Hannah dictionary because yeah, it's a really good one.
You yes. never heard it?
No, Katie, I haven't heard it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh. I know, I'm a dinosaur. That's what it is. I still use the word cool. I mean, oh, my God. Although I was playing with Tony Kofi at the weekend, and he went, oh man, you've been shredding that tune. And I was like, oh no, that word, I hate that word. And he's now telling me I'm shredding. And he was, obviously it's a compliment, but I just find it a really odd un-Hannah word. So yeah. Sunny, how have you found it?
Kind of like similar to what like Tabby was saying about kind of playing with boys. And like I had a male teacher, and like I think there definitely is like a correlation with like girls playing music and like their confidence. Like I have definitely had boys like mansplain stuff to me, and I don't know, it feels, I think we, like I agree when I say like I think it feels really nice to just play with girls. And certainly, like, in other groups that I've done, and, like, in lessons that I've previously had, like, there just, like, isn't, like, a connect, like, it doesn't feel like there's, like, much of a connection there. And I do feel, like, a bit underestimated sometimes by boys, especially in, like, I love playing in ensembles so much, but, like, I don't like it when someone, like, underestimates what I can play. And like I also think like for me, like at the beginning when I started playing, I didn't really have the confidence to say, oh, actually, like I can play this quite well and I can do this and I've learned how to do that. But now I think playing with like more women and having like a woman as a teacher, I've kind of figured out how to just be like, oh, yeah, say that now. So yeah, that's how I feel. I was a bit waffly, sorry, but yeah.
I love the waffle. And I said that earlier, didn't I? I never worry that you guys won't get it. You will always get it. I always have that confidence in you. Megan, how about you?
I've actually found it quite hard, I think, because my first instrument that I started playing on was the trumpet. Mm. And that's a very kind of, not like male-dominated instrument, but you do not see many girls playing the trumpet. And I was very almost embarrassed to tell people that I played it, and I got a lot of guys look down on me and tell me that I was like rubbish, and I ended up giving it up. And at points like that, I almost gave up music altogether, but I'm really grateful that I didn't, and I didn't let like other guys get to me, and I just picked up a different instrument instead. But in a way, it's kind of sad because I should have really carried on with the trumpet and not been told that I couldn't play it because I wasn't a man or something, but maybe I'll pick it up again later on in life.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are exceptionally clever, Megan. You'd easily pick it up again. You'll come back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Was it tuba we used to have in the group? Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, didn't we have Claire on playing the tuba?
Yeah.
You also played the trombone. Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. Really good. So hopefully you're all looking forward to the gig on the 6th of October. At the Swinging Cat, Haverhill Arts Centre. So we're celebrating the music of Dexter Gordon. And we also have Lily Dior, who's coming up to sing as well. So this is very, very exciting for you guys. So I have two Hannah questions for you all. And we'll give Katie some time to think about it. I reckon Annie might be able to answer first. We'll go to Annie. Right, there's this radio. This is me being a dinosaur. There's a very long-standing radio show called Desert Island Discs. Does anybody know of this thing? What it is that basically the interviewee chooses different tracks and then they have to pick one. So I'm going to say, do you have one album that you would take like forever, keep with you? And the other question is, what's your favourite time signature? Oh, you should have seen their faces when they did that. So Annie, we're coming to you first. Album, why, and then time signature.
Oh, that's a hard question. Okay, I would say album. I love Kind of Blue. That's one of my favorite albums of all time. Like, I think it's one of the best like modal jazz hard bop records, and I think that the story behind it is just brilliant. Like with the whole arrest of Miles Davis, I love that album so much. Because I think you can really hear the struggle in jazz music, especially sort of not more modern performances, but I think historical performances, you can really hear the struggle. And yeah, I just really like that album. Time signature. I mean, I don't like anything that, I don't like it when I'm given a hard time signature, but I feel like it's boring to say a simple one.
You can say simple.
I really like a 4-4 because I think that you can just do a lot with it.
Okay, come at time.
Mm. Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know. I love Bossa Nova. I love just hearing someone count it in and it just like this whole like picture be created instantly. I just love it. So yeah.
4-4. Okay.
Boring answer, but yeah.
No, just go with what you feel. Tabby?
Does it have to be a jazz album?
No.
Okay. Because I'm trying to narrow it down in my head. I've got two because I like music that when you listen to in the car, it makes you feel like you're floating. I like that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
So my favourite at the moment to listen in the car, that's how I judge how good a song is how good it is to listen to in the dark, is Unreal Unearth by Hoysia.
Really?
So good. Such a good album. That's brand new, but I love it. I've been listening to it like My brother goes to cadets all the way in Duxford, and I'll just get in the car and go with my dad for like a late night drive listening to music.
Nice.
But yeah, for time signature, mine's also quite basic, but I like 3/4 because it's really fun to dance to. Because I do a lot of dance, I do a lot of tap, and it's so fun to tap. It's a really fun time signature.
Hey, nice. Sunny.
The album question is such a hard question to answer to, because I love so many different types of music. I was gonna go with like a hip hop album. I love the Beastie Boys, that kind of vibe, Public Enemy, but I'm also a huge fan of reggae. And so my one that I'm choosing is Funky Kingston by Toots and the Maytals. It's just such a good
Okay.
album. And it's like always, I feel like you need an album for like a party, and I feel like that's a great one to throw on at a party. And then like my favorite time signature, I was gonna say 3/4, because like I do like 4/4, but I wanted to be a bit more interesting. And I really like 3/4, but I'm playing a song at the moment that's 9/8, and like I thought I was gonna hate it, but I actually really like that, so I'm gonna be really different and say 9/8.
Yes, great. Megan.
My favorite album is probably there's one Kanye West album that I absolutely love called Late Registration, which is a really good album. Yeah, but it's a bit controversial, but it's a really good album. It's one of his early ones that he did in like the 2000s, so it's also actually got a bit of jazz incorporated in it. Like some of the songs have got saxophone in it. Some of them have got like piano solos. It's a bit kind of improvisy, and I love it so much. It's a really good album to listen to. And my favorite time signature is definitely 6/8, 100%, because it's got the same feel of 3/4, but it's more kind of like I love a triplet, or like, and it's a bit more upbeat, and you can make it, if it's faster, you can make it really fun.
I'm a 3, 4, 6, 8. So yeah, good, nice. Katie.
Well, I mean, I don't really listen to full albums, so I have one playlist and I stick to listening to it. And I can't remember half the songs on the playlist. I just remember that I like it. But there's two albums that I do like. They're quite different. There's Preacher's Daughter by Ethel Kane, which has got like a story behind it. I can't remember the exact details, but it's really interesting. That one's really good. And then Infestus in Man, which is by Ghost, and that's like, I think it's rock or metal, I'm not sure, but it's really good.
Hey,
But yeah,
Tabby's nodding her head.
love
She can fill
Ghost.
you in. Yeah.
Love Ghost. Yeah, my friend got me into Ghost, so yeah.
And what about your time signature?
6/8, it's
Nice,
just fun.
interesting.
I like
Yeah.
6/8.
Well, I have actually thoroughly enjoyed this chat. Thank you so much. I've learned so much about you all, which I never would have known before. And you've all been amazing to have on. And thank you so much for taking your turns. We're not all talking over each other because six of us is quite the most I've ever had. Whew. Very exciting. So we have a rehearsal on Saturday. We have a 3-hour rehearsal on Saturday, don't we? It's usually two, but we've got three. And we'll be running over some of the Dexter tunes. I've done some new arrangements. So thanks again for coming onto the podcast. And I'll let you know when it's out. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.